This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, and a bit of pop culture bits thrown in for good measure. Quiet week on streaming this week, and feck all released in the cinemas. So, thanks for coming, and we'll see you next week. As if, for feck's sake, there are so many shows, series, movies out this week that you're probably going to need a second TV, and yes, a bigger boat. Cinema-wise, we got some humdingers out there too, and another pattern I noticed on streaming this week is that reality TV and docuseries are the flavour of the week. So, shall we begin?
I know people think I'm having a midlife crisis, but I'm having an awakening. Take that thing! But goals don't change. Ring that bell and cash some checks.
He's taking off for Europe with Mary Lou.
I want you to run the listings, the office, the agents.
Morning.
Look at that little thumb.
Everything.
Really?
Yes, Selling Sunset is back for season 6 with all 11 episodes now available on Netflix. Woohoo! A new era is upon the Los Angeles-based Oppenheim group, as this prequel to the Christopher Nolan summer movie finally lands back on our screens. In this one, the team bounces back from that breakup bomb of season 5 and gets back to the business of selling luxury real estate. All the usual suspects, well, most of them are back. Chrishell, Mary, Emma, Heather, Amanza and Chelsea, all pulling off that high wire act of blending the personal and the professional and the catfights. And while season 6 might be missing a certain shit stirrer, two new agents, Bree and Nicole, join the brokerage and bring some new, much needed sass and competition. You'll also get to know Chrishell and Jason's new significant others, magician G Flip and model Marie Lou Nurk. Absolutely glorious, binge-worthy carnage. Bring it on. That is Selling Sunset Season 6, now on Netflix.
There's a saying, reasonable men never achieved anything. And Connor's a very unreasonable man.
And it's fucking God.
Eventually, you know, the fighting will end. But Connor wants to prove that he's the baddest man on the planet.
I came back for the love of this. To whom it showed this man up.
You're going to face setbacks.
Comes B, and that's that.
It's how you respond when it doesn't go your way.
His leg is broken, and that's definitely a hard one to take.
McGregor Forever on Netflix is a docuseries which follows Conor McGregor's roller coaster recent years from 2018 onwards. McGregor's brutal strikes and trash-talking swagger made him the UFC's biggest draw for many a year, a man who operates solely in the world of love him or hate him. And I'm fairly confident this one will make you love him or hate him even more. Well, I'm 2 episodes in, and I'm not gonna lie, it has me hooked. And I'm in the I'm not as big as fan camp. It's just a classic sports documentary that Netflix are so good at doing. Like, recently they've just been killing it. And this one is a fascinating watch. It's an observation of his inner sanctum as he prepares for the fights and his obvious lush lifestyle. It's all very well handled, as you'd expect from the Netflix sports crew, in their all-access, no-holds-barred kind of way. All 4 episodes are now up. Go ahead, dive in, have yourself a proper 12 while watching it. Blah, muck. Well, that's just me. I don't like whiskey anyway. That's McGregor Forever, now on Netflix.
It's not how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
He's one of the world's biggest stars. Now, see him like never before. As a family man.
Really?
The Family Stallone on Paramount Plus is Sylvester Stallone's first foray into the world of reality TV. Oh my word. Following Sly's life with his wife Jennifer Flavin and his daughters Sophia, Sistine and Scarlett, this no-holds-barred show has been described by Stallone himself as the ultimate home movie. Obviously, Sly has a few extra bills to pay these days, and this car crash will either be a smash hit or off the air within one season. But of course, I am absolutely too curious not to have a wee nose at this one. So bring it on, bring on the madness. Oh my lord. So that is The Family Stallone, now on Paramount Plus.
Hi, it's me, Anna Nicole.
I'm a whisper.
I would just advise people just to follow their dreams. They can come true. I'm living proof.
Getting low.
Anna Nicole Smith has died.
Modeling, movies, her own TV show. The world is infatuated with Anna Nicole Smith.
A death that opened a Pandora's box of questions.
What is the truth about Anna Nicole Smith?
Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me on Netflix is a documentary which tells her story from the heights of her modeling fame to her tragic death. This one reveals Anna Nicole through the eyes of the people closest to her, with plenty of reveals and exclusive bombshells. This tragic tale is definitely a fascinating watch. That's Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me on Netflix. Working What We Do All Day is a new limited series on Netflix. This one finds former President Barack Obama visiting people in their homes and workplaces as he tries to discover how people find meaning and connection through work, the sharing experiences and their struggles. He follows them at all levels, from service jobs up to the executive suite. All 4 episodes are up now. That is Working What We Do All Day, now on Netflix. And that's your reality TV / documentary series. Shed loads of them. So if that's your jam, oh my god, you are gonna be busy for a while. Right. Anything else out there? Yeah, there might be a few decent things.
What are you supposed to be?
A real PI? What are you playing at?
I'm not hiring.
I'm a natural
detective.
You need me, and I need this job.
Be here Monday morning at 9 a.m.
I don't get up before 11.
When I had money, we all had money.
From dealing drugs.
It was a little pot, maybe some hash.
There was cocaine.
Well, that was much later, and I did it. I didn't sell it.
Oh, wow.
Okay, calm down.
Good comes from bad, but I need that thing that I've always missed.
You got some oxy?
No! I'm on methadone. Crepe.
High Desert on Apple TV Plus sees Patricia Arquette play Peggy, a former addict who decides to make a new start after the death of her mother, with whom she lived in the small desert town of Yucca Valley, California, and makes the life-changing decision to become a private investigator. This extremely dark comedy was created by a pair of Nurse Jackie writers, Nancy Fitchman and Jennifer Hopp, and some Miss Congeniality writers, including Katie Ford. Looks like a sneaky little cracker. This one also stars Rupert Friend, Bernadette Peters, Matt Dillon and Brad Garrett. Jay Roach, who did Austin Powers and Meet the Parents, directs all 8 episodes, the first 3 of which stream today, and Ben Stiller produces. Ben was supposed to direct, but got distracted by a little thing called Severance. Woo. So that is High Desert, now on Apple TV+. Looking at some non-English product landing this week, there's some really interesting stuff. First up, we have Fanfic on Netflix, which is a Polish movie which tells the story of 2 high school students who form an intense connection as they navigate the challenges of discovering and expressing their truest selves. Based on a book of the same name, Fanfic is now on Netflix. Fatefully Yours on Netflix is a Dutch thriller. Using each other as alibis, 2 friends sneak off to indulge in secret affairs, but their elaborate web of lies unravels when one of them goes missing. Oh, isn't that always just... Anyway, what can you do? That is Fatefully Yours, now on Netflix. Muted on Netflix is a Spanish crime thriller series. Sergio is released from prison 6 years after murdering his parents when he was still a minor. During that time, Sergio has not said a single word. Anna Dussel, a young psychiatrist, tries to uncover the whole story when he gets out. And it all unravels like a bad onion. That's Muted, now on Netflix. And finally, in the non-English section, we have Yakitori: Soldiers of Misfortune on Netflix. This is a new anime series based on the Japanese novels of the same name. A young man rebels against authorities in a future version of Earth after he has been recruited into an interplanetary military unit that suffers a 70% casualty rate. Not a good place to be. A pretty decent watch for any anime fans out there. That is Yakitori: Soldiers of Misfortune, now on Netflix.
Excuse me, could you point us in the direction of a boat named the Blue?
This will be you. Settle yourselves in, dinner's at six.
Island hopping on a private bloody yacht, that's like someone else's life. I want to enjoy it while we can.
You think we can trust him?
Sooner or later we're gonna get caught.
I never get caught.
Based on Lucy Clark's best-selling novel The Blue, No Escape on Paramount Plus is a tense thriller series that centres around Lana and Kitty, two best friends on the run from the British police. The fugitive duo think they've struck gold when they board the Blue, a luxury yacht cruising Southeast Asia, but soon find that their dream getaway turns into a nightmare as the boat's eclectic clientele and their deepest, darkest secrets rise to the surface. Oh yeah, it's another one of those dark observation series about the elite, rich and famous, and how batshit they are, as well as dodgy drug dealing crazies. Love it. What's not to love? That is No Escape, now on Paramount Plus.
My parents want to have you guys over.
Absolutely not.
Why don't you want to meet these people?
What could we possibly have in common?
Darling.
Mother?
Yeah.
It is so nice to finally meet you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Dad?
He's outside.
Sorry, I'm a little late.
Hey.
You can't kill me now. I've got company.
Guess what?
I'm the company.
That's my son, Alan, who's with your wife holding your daughter.
Would anyone care for a drink?
Oh, yes!
Based on his play Cheaters, writer-director Michael Jacobs's Maybe I Do on Prime Video tells the story of two adulterous couples who realise they've been cheating with their lovers' spouses when they learn their respective children are seeing each other. And yes, it all kicks off from there, but not how you'd expect. Confused? You will be after this episode of Sup. Oh my god, what is happening? However, it has a most excellent cast. You've got Diane Keaton, you've got Susan Sarandon, you've got William H. Macy, and you've got Richard Gere, all playing the very confused and jumping around the beds adults. And then you've got Emma Roberts and Luke Bracey starring as the couple who have to deal with this madness. This looks like a proper, enjoyable, good old weekend rom-com. What is not to love other than each other's spouses? Love it. Love them, love all. That is Maybe I Do. What? I have no idea what I'm talking about. Now on Prime Video. Over on Disney Plus, we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Yes, it finally lands on streaming on Disney Plus after its not so successful cinema run. Guardians 3 seems to be pulling Marvel out of the hole that this movie firmly threw it into, but at least now you can watch the abomination that is MODOK from the safety of your own couch. Oh, what a movie. To say this one is all over the gaff is the understatement of the week. But hey, if you avoided it in cinemas, like most people seem to have done, here's your chance to witness the carnage. And carnage you shall witness. Oh, sweet Jesus, help us all. That is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, now streaming on Disney+.
Hey, they're letting yoga instructors in the gym now.
Ball!
I just noticed you're not getting enough legs on a new shot. Are you dehydrated?
$100, you can't make more shots.
Let's just do 300.
It's not my dad's money.
We ain't never gonna get a reparation that way, bro.
So, I prefer Venmo or Zelle, but you seem like a Cash App guy, so.
Ladies and gentlemen! You thinking slick, huh? is showing up to courts dressed like a dumbass, acting like you can't hoop.
You assumed I couldn't hoop because I'm white, which is incredibly outdated.
No, I assumed you couldn't hoop because you were dressed like a white girl at Whole Foods.
Also on Disney Plus this week, we have White Man Can't Jump, which is a modern remake? Meh, whatever, of the iconic 1992 film that starred Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson and celebrated the street ball hustling culture of Los Angeles. Cynthia Wall stars as Kamal, once a promising player who derailed his future in the sport, and rap superstar Jack Harlow makes his movie debut as Jeremy, a former star of the game whose injuries stalled his own career. A classic tale of opposites attracting, this is one of those, did we actually want a remake made, or what's going on here? However, being halfway through it, I can happily report that it's actually a fun, fairly decent remake. Kind of plenty of nods to the old one, but it's being freshened up for a new generation. And as you know, I love a sports movie, and who doesn't love a street sports movie? So yeah, and it's also just in time for the NBA playoffs. What's not to love? So that is White Man Can't Jump, the 2023 version, now on Disney Plus. For the smallies this week, we have some intriguing shows. We have Kitty Cats on Netflix, which is an animated series for tweens out there. Three teenage girls transform into first feline superheroes to save the world from an evil Egyptian goddess and still have time for, yes, soccer practice. Oh my god, why not? Whether it's any good or not, that is not my call. That is Kitty Cats, now on Netflix. On Apple TV Plus, we have Stillwater Season 3. Siblings Carl, Addie and Michael are back and still living next door to the wise panda named Stillwater, who gives the children a deeper understanding of their feelings as well as tools that help them face day-to-day challenges. Definitely much more zen and chilled than Kitty Cats. Stillwater Season 3 is now on Apple TV Plus. And finally, for the smallies, or maybe the middlies, who knows, we have Asterix and Obelix, The Middle Kingdom on Netflix. This sees the return of the French comic book heroes in this live-action adventure, where the only daughter of the Chinese emperor escapes from a strict prince and seeks help from the Gauls and the two brave warriors, Asterix and Obelix. While being an absolutely massive fan back in the day, oh, my younger days, I was obsessed with these comic books. Oh my god. So good. So good. These live action versions, I'm not gonna lie, leave me very cold. Cold as the day is warm. What? He's off again. Anyway, that is Asterix and Obelix, The Middle Kingdom, now on Netflix.
I know when two people are meant for each other. I felt it for Lara Jean and Peter. Hi. And I feel it for me and Day. The Korean Independent School of Seoul, the school mom went to, is the same one Day goes to. I applied to KISS, and I got in.
Did I just let my youngest daughter go to Korea to have sex with her boyfriend?
No. Maybe.
And finally on streaming this week, we have XO Kitty on Netflix. This is a romantic dramedy where Anna Cathcart stars as teenage matchmaker in this series spin-off of the To All the Boys films that are set in Seoul. Author Jenny Han is the showrunner for the series, and we are here for it all. Kitty Covey, who believes she is extremely knowledgeable on love, moves halfway across the world to Korea, aiming to reconnect with her long-distance boyfriend. She finds, however, that a relationship is much more complex when it is your own feelings of love at risk. Ah, young love. Young love and its perils. Who hasn't been there? Ah, the heartbreak, the sadness, the tears, the gifts, the letters. Do you remember letters? I was only talking about letters the other night in the pub. Letters to loved ones. Ah, God forbid we find those letters and see the absolutely ridiculous things we wrote. But it's better than an email, folks. It's better than... Sorry, just got a bit sidetracked there. I'm fairly certain that a few of the To All the Boys characters will cameo in this one. And as I said, it's written by Jenny Han, who we absolutely love. So that is XO Kitty, which is now on Netflix. And that's your streaming for the week. As I said earlier, absolute box office. Can you see the sun outside? you're not going to be seeing much of it this weekend because, by Jesus, there's a lot to catch up on. Right, speaking of trying to catch up on people, it's time for some cinema releases. Speed up there now. Meep, meep.
Dominic Toretto, you're about to learn all about fear. Boom! You built such a beautiful life, filled with love and family. I never got that chance. You stole that from me. My future. My family. And now, I'm gonna break yours. Piece by piece.
Fast X is the 10th movie, Fast 10, Fast X, whatever, is the 10th movie in the Fast and Furious franchise and is either the penultimate movie in the series or, depending on the worldwide box office it makes in the next few weeks, could be the first of a trilogy finale. Whoa! I absolutely adore this franchise. I mean, what's not to love? I've seen every one of them with my crew in the cinema on the biggest screens possible when they come out. We're honest people here. The last two installments, Fast 9 and The Fate of the Furious, weren't exactly great. They were serviceable, but had the vibes of a franchise running out of gas. Yes, nothing left in the tank. But wait, what have we here? Dom and his family are back, their mojo is back, and Fast X is an absolute bloody belter. Big, dumb, insane fun, but with a heart that's in the right place. Because I'd be worried if it was in the wrong place. Insane action sequences. I mean, mad stuff set all over the globe. And a new lead villain who is probably one of the best in the series. Jason Momoa plays Dante, who has a connection to Rio and Fast and Furious 5, otherwise known as the Joint Safe movie. But don't worry, there's an absolutely fabulous previously on opening sequence that will get you up to speed. So if you can't remember what the hell happened back then, you're rant. First 2 minutes, it's all sorted. Momoa is absolutely brilliant. Love him. He's funny, he's dark, he's twisted, and he's a great foil for good old Vin Diesel. All the usual heads are back, all over it. There's so many of them, it's just ridiculous. I love them all. And because we're heading into the end game of this franchise, a huge amount of past characters, you know, from various movies pop up to give us all the feels and nostalgia vibes. And yes, just when you think the action sequences can't get any more insane, director Louis Leterrier absolutely nails them. What the bloody hell? Just don't watch the trailer, people. Stay away from the trailer, because really, lads, we don't need to know that you're going to do all that stuff, because we know you're going to do it. Leave your worries at the door and see this one on the biggest, loudest screen possible. Fun will be had. There is one very important mid-credit scene, so definitely stay for that. And yes, because it's a duology or trilogy, whichever it is, do not be shocked by the cliffhanger ending when it just stops and goes, "We'll be back soon in about 2 years." So that's a huge meep meep, vroom vroom, from me for this one. Fast X is now in cinemas. So, so good. So, so good. What I feel,
I can't say. I've decided I want you to join my secret club. If you want to be in the club, then you have to wear a bra.
Oh. You think you need one?
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, also opens in cinemas this week. When her family moves from the city to the suburbs, 11-year-old Margaret navigates new friends, feelings, and the beginning of adolescence. Raised by a Christian mother and a Jewish father, she starts to ask questions about faith and religion. Written and directed by Kelly Freeman Craig, this is obviously based on Judy Blume's infamous 1970 novel. This one stars Rachel McAdams, Ben Safdie and Kathy Bates. And what is most exciting about this, apart from the fact that it's obviously based on Judy Blume's classic novel, is that it's written and directed by Kelly Freeman Craig. Who is that, you ask? Well, this wonderful lady gave us one of the most underrated teen movies of the last 10 years, Edge of 17. Reviews have been stellar. Folks have been losing their minds over this one. It is 1,000% on my must-see list this weekend. And I would also encourage you to bail in. It's going to be a beauty. It's going to be a classic. All the emotions. That's Are You There, God? It's me, Margaret, now in cinemas. And speaking of emotions,
I am so sorry for what your daddy passed down to you. But I wanted a child, the greatest gift of my life.
I'm visiting my mother tomorrow.
Hi, Carrot, it's Mom. I'm just calling to say that I'm so excited to see you tomorrow. You're my angel and I love you.
Bo is Afraid lands in cinemas and comes from Ari Aster, director of Hereditary and Midsommar. So you're guaranteed it's going to be as bizarre as hell. And the word on the street is, and it's not even on the street because having seen it, oh sweet lord, this is one hot mess of a movie. It's meandering, not even slightly incoherent, it's just incoherent. It's so bloody weird, but not in a good or intriguing way. And in all honesty, I have no idea. I still have no idea what the hell I watched. The fact that A24 allowed Aster to spend $35 million to make this movie, which won't even sniff a profit after its worldwide release, surely must be a let's keep him happy, indulge him in his passion project, and then get him back to making epic, thrilling, crazy movies again. I weirdly thought of Donnie Darko's Richard Kelly while watching this. I had plenty of time during the movie to think about good old Richard, because Bo is 3 hours long. And Mr. Kelly followed up his work of genius that was Donnie Darko with a passion project, Southland Tales. But ultimately, be careful what you wish for. That was an absolute dog. Bombed at the box office. Didn't even become a cult classic. And then poor Richard just fell off the fame and cool cliff. I am not in any way saying, please let it be noted, that Ari Aster is done, but his next movie is definitely going to be a fascinating step in his career. Joaquin Phoenix is always a draw and plays the role in as weird a way as is possible for him, which, you know, really isn't that hard, but it's not enough to save what is basically a car crash of a movie. Okay, yes, I'm going to get off the fence now. Bo is Afraid, Be Very Afraid, is now in cinemas. Still no idea. And that is your cinema lot for the week. Some wordy trips out there and some interesting risks. And, you know, it's always good to risk 3 hours of your life and see if you can get them back. Right, now let's look at three things that caught our eye in pop culture this week. First up, and you all know me, I do love a bit of Jared Butler movie time in my life, and kind of a heist movie vibe too. So, obviously, when 2018's Den of Thieves movie came out, it was an absolute cracker. Loved it. What a thriller. Well, beautiful news, people. Den of Thieves 2, Pantera, is coming to cinemas. And this time, the heist is taking place in Europe. Oh, yes. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is also returning. Praise be the Lord. Very excited for that. But if that wasn't enough Butler news for you, the Has Fallen movie series, Olympus, London, Angel, is getting a TV spin-off called Paris Has Fallen and will star Mathieu Kassovitz in the leading role. It will be a standalone 8-episode series set in the Has Fallen universe, which means at some point our good friend Jared is bound to rock up and look mean and moody. Yes, I love it. Love it. Next up, we have Disney, who had their upfront meetings this week with advertisers and released a lot of forthcoming info on series and release dates for Disney Plus, etc. Loki Season 2 is officially launching and dropping its first two episodes on October 8th. Very, very excited. It's going to be some interesting times ahead for that. Echo, which will feature Daredevil and Kingpin, will drop its whole season on November 29th, which is interesting. Is that a good sign or a bad sign? We'll have to wait and see. And they also announced that all the Indiana Jones movies and Young Indiana Jones Chronicles will be dropping on Disney Plus on May 31st. Obviously to prep us for Indy and the Dial of Destiny in late June. We won't mention the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It never happened, people. It never happens. We're just going to binge the first three. Also in the presentation, probably the two most exciting pieces of info revealed were that The Bear returns for its second season on June 22nd in the US, and then all 10 episodes will drop on Disney Plus here on July 19th. If you have not watched this show, do it. It's a thing of beauty, a work of art, and an absolute stress ball. The other big reveal was Shogun, the series, which comes out later in the year. This is based on the best-selling novel by James Clavell. Shogun is set in feudal Japan and charts the collision of two ambitious men from different worlds and a mysterious female samurai. Early looks and previews have been absolutely stunning, and this 10-episode series could explode when it eventually lands. So, very excited for Shogun. And then finally this week, it was revealed that negotiations are underway for Eddie Murphy to play Inspector Clouseau in a new Pink Panther movie. Made famous by Peter Sellers, This one is a wait and see as to whether Murphy agrees to play the bumbling half-wit detective. Could be fun. And that is us. You're all caught up. A cracker of a week of entertainment. Plenty to keep you busy and off the streets. Where do you even begin is probably the problem. Anyway, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Yes, music to my little ears, my big ears, my average size ears. This is one of the greatest shows you haven't seen. And yes, welcome to the post-credit dig out a classic show from the past section of the podcast. I have no idea what's going on. Anyway, I'll continue. Released on AMC between 2014 and 2017, over 40 episodes. Halt and Catch Fire, all seasons are now free to stream on All 4. Channel 4's beautiful little app, All 4. Love it. It depicted a fictionalized insider's view of the personal computer revolution of the 1980s and the early days of the World Wide Web in the early 90s. It starred Lee Pace, Mackenzie Davis, Scoot McNairy and Kerry Bichet, and is a series about struggling to overcome the tech giants while trying to maintain a sense of decency and a code. Oh, decency out the door, code, feck the code. Oh my God, it's a wonderful show. It's not an action show. It's paced in its own little way and is brilliant as an alternative timeline of tech discovery, and has us hoping upon hope that our heroes, or anti-heroes I suppose, hope they succeed in their attempts to flip a game and industry that is rigged. All the main characters, as I've said there, are flawed individuals, and boy oh boy are they flawed, and we love them more for it. And it captures the mood, look and vibe of this computer revolution and this era quite perfectly. Hell, even Zima turns up at one point. How I shouted at the screen with excitement when that happened. I cannot recommend this show enough. A stunning, beautiful, stress-filled triumph. Halt and Catch Fire is now streaming all episodes on all four. By the way, just in case you're curious, the show's title refers to the computer machine code instruction Halt and Catch Fire, HCF, this execution of which would cause the computer's central processing unit to cease meaningful operation, aka technically Catch Fire, but not really, but that's the way it was phrased. Now you know, nerds. What a show. Anyway, there you go. I might go off and watch it all again. Beep, boop, beep, boop.